You are listening to the Council of Deans of Health podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Council of Deans of Health podcast for Research Month 2023. My name is Megan Ishwood and I am the Policy Officer at the Council. So with the theme of this week's Research Month being inclusion, this podcast will focus on the topic of promoting student research with a discussion around the contribution of students in research and how we can make research more inclusive to engage and encourage more students to pursue it. So increasing students' exposure to research is one of our key objectives at the Council of Deans of Health. We have previously undertaken work relating to this, including our Becoming Research Confident reports that were released in 2019 and 2021. And these looked at research opportunities for students in pre-registration nursing, midwifery and allied health professions, EHB programmes, and also opportunities for research placements. So I'd like to introduce our guest speakers who are joining me today. We have Professor Ruth Endicott, who is the Director of Nursing and Midwifery at the National Institute for Health and Care Research, the NIHR, and also Joy O'Gorman, who is an intensive care unit nurse and PhD student, and also one of our Student Leadership Programme alumni. So it's a real pleasure to have you both here with me today, so thank you very much. So I'd like to start with a question for you, Joy, if that's okay. So I'd like to know what inspired you to decide to follow a research pathway?
Very good question. And there are a number of building blocks, I think, which helped pave my way to my current point and very exciting research role. So I guess pre-degree, I was looking after a loved one who had a number of comorbidities and was needle phobic, requiring insulin dialysis. And I had learned about some fantastic research being done in America where the insulin was being administered via the peritoneal dialysis fluid. And this seemed like an ideal solution for my loved one. Discussed it with the nurses and renal teams. We were very much encouraged to pursue it. Person-centered care choice was all advocated. And long story short, with lots of support and gathering the data, working with figures, blood sugars, insulins, it proved to improve her quality of life over the 3.5 years that she had left. And that to me inspired me because I could see a very tangible difference. And in my first week at university, there was a lecture during our induction on clinical research by one of the professors, and they were very much encouraging any student that was interested in research to come and speak to them. So of course I did. And I had engaged in a number of research activities with university, including digital health-led research. I think the thing that gave me confidence to pursue it more was on placement. I had an opportunity to apply research from an assignment into everyday practice. My ward manager encouraged me. I'd networked with my trust provider and was enabled to actually physically do research and practice as part of my placement experience. And all of these things gave me greater enthusiasm, passion, and encouragement to keep pursuing that passion. And for my optional placement, I chose to work with the research hub for my 3-week optional where I could learn more about research. So to me, it was more than the literature review assignments that were given as part of our research modules. It was very much about everyday practice, and I was inspired and encouraged in that respect. So it's been a long-standing passion and a hybrid role now where I can pursue my clinical role and consolidate as well as do research in my clinical area is just a dream come true for me.
Thank you very much for sharing that, Joy, and especially your own personal experience. That's really amazing and inspiring. And I think it does really show the importance of having, your team and the academic staff at your university encouraging you along that way and also being given the opportunities to actually go into placement with a research kind of background there as well. So thank you. So I then wanted to ask about the Student Nursing Times Awards and what prompted you both to push for a student research category within the awards.
So thank you, Megan, for inviting me to join the podcast today. The Student Nursing Times Awards have been the sort of award that we've always looked at and thought, oh, I wonder if there's a possibility of us getting involved from a research angle. And suddenly we started to join the dots and think, actually, there's a real opportunity here, because any kind of award that people apply for does a number of things, doesn't it? The first thing is that it actually acknowledges and celebrates for that individual something amazing that they've done, something where they've stood out from the crowd, they've been willing to maybe put their head above the parapet, all those sorts of things. But it also celebrates all of those around that particular student and the amazing inspiration that they've given, maybe the just a little practical help they've given along the way. But also, I think for us in particular, it showcases that students can actually be involved and engaged in clinical research nursing. You don't have to wait until you're registered. You don't have to wait until you've actually been doing a clinical job for years before you can even think about going down this path. So I think for us, it's done those number of things. And we don't actually fund this. We organise the whole thing and the funding flows through us. But actually, the money for this is coming from the Department of Health and Social Care. And for me, it's also really important that DHSC are made to realise that actually students are a real key part of our future for research. So there was a sort of slightly small p political drive for me in actually wanting to say to DHSC, how about you give us some money to sponsor this particular category, as well as the sort of grown-up Nursing Times Awards that we do.
And for myself, I think I aligned with Ruth and the team at the right time, where they were thinking along the lines, and I'd been at the Nursing Times Awards as a student for innovation and practice and a number of other awards. And it had intrigued me as to why within the Student Nursing Times Awards there was no category for research. And I'd met Ruth and her wonderful team, and I just said to them, why is there no research for students? We have all of this drive and agenda to push students more into research, to encourage it, because we know it leads to more research nursing in practice and in their lifelong careers. And I guess it became an ideal partnership where my passion for research, the NHI and Ruth's team's goals of wanting that, and it just was kind of a marriage met at the right time, and we worked together in collaboration. And once Ruth set her mind to achieve something, the funding was there, and a few months later, suddenly there we are launching this wonderful new category to celebrate, promote research and encourage students to get involved in it.
That's amazing. And I think you both, you know, did a great job to push for this to be included in the awards. Definitely kind of recognises the value of research and the role that students can play in research, and encouraging more students to pursue it. And then that's how we foster the next generation of researchers and academic clinicians. That's amazing. Thank you both. Now I'm turning to the barriers. So what do you think are the barriers facing students who want to engage in research or to engage? Full stop.
From a lived experience, I think there's a lot of myths still at undergrad level, where research is just about literature reviews. And although literature review and evidence-based gathering is an important aspect of that, there's much more to research than just reading through articles and finding out what current evidence there is out there. It's about creating and gathering new evidence as well. So a lot of colleagues, I think, don't feel inspired to pursue research because of module fatigue, assignment fatigue, and not really having those opportunities where they have that tangible opportunity to apply research into practice. The Research Hub optional placement that I had was incredible, and I'd like to see that integrated as standard rather than being an optional choice that you choose to pursue, because you see the wonderful work that the research nursing teams are doing in everyday practice. I think also more partnership between universities, providers and placement teams. I don't believe that research placements should be about turning up to shift at 7:30, going home at 8 and staying in that one shift ward area. There should be much more collaboration and innovation and thinking outside of the box, working with other MDT students and bringing research ideas to the forefront, and that trust and provider encouraging and inspiring those students to pursue those. That's what gave me the confidence to be in the position where I am now, because I was encouraged and inspired to pursue my passion. So creating, I think, hub spaces within placements, not leaving students isolated within their team placement for 3-6 months, creating clinical days where you can exchange with other MD students, I personally think that's where, from a student perspective, some of the barriers are. I'm wondering what Ruth might consider.
Yes, thanks, Joy. And your experience has very much inspired us in terms of the work that we're actually doing. I think for me, some of the barriers really are because, as an undergrad student, and even all those donkey's years ago when I was a pre-registration student, as we were then, actually the things we were interested in were the things that we thought would help us survive when we're newly registered. And so in some ways, research doesn't figure in that landscape. But there's also something sometimes about research modules seeming so totally distant from the clinical stuff that people want to learn. They want to learn more about actually how do we, as a newly registered nurse, manage somebody who's having trouble with multiple long-term conditions, those sorts of things. Well, if we can actually bring research to life by allowing students the opportunity to be alongside a research nurse when she's recruiting somebody into a study, or when he or she is explaining how a research study is potentially going to change the treatments going forward, and so on and so forth, suddenly research isn't a module that maybe the module that brought their marks down, or maybe the module that they found hardest to actually get to the end of. But actually, this is not just about the evidence that underpins your practice, but actually, what's it like to be a participant in a research study? And actually, how does it become all of our job to make sure as many people as possible get that opportunity? So I think there's a number of different ways of trying to actually absolutely identify what those barriers are, but to almost then work out, okay, so how are we going to get over those things? So it's then who we work with to make the next generation better.
Thank you for sharing that, Ruth. Yeah, it definitely sounds like there's not always that join up between the research side and then the clinical practice side. And it's mostly about raising awareness of the value of research for newly qualified or people going into these professions to realise the value that can have for their future careers. Brilliant. And that leads us on really nicely to the next question, which is kind of about solutions. So how do you think we can better signpost opportunities for students and build a better culture of research in pre-registration education? Joy, can I start with you?
Yes, and I think that needs to be a mix of our current blended approach in education and in practice and with patients between online resources. There's a huge host of incredible e-learning resources out there with NIHR. I know Ruth holds this wonderful drop-in clinic sessions once a month for nurses and others who are keen to understand what's happening in research policy and in research practice. So it's bringing those tangible resources to students' awareness. One of the things that inspired me so much and kept me going during my degree was networking and engaging with these wonderful resources that are out there. But sometimes it's hard to find them because you're so bogged down with the constraints and the pressures of the degree. So I think there needs to be more flexibility in the degree to allow people to pursue their passions and then enable that CPD to be counted within their degree modules. There also needs to be research, inspiring research activities other than the literature reviews that we discussed earlier, integrated within university. But thinking outside of the box, signposting people to resources, and research is everyone's business. It's with patients, it's with our MDT. So having that collaboration with patients and encouraging students to want to learn more and find out more and give them time and space to do that. We're just so bogged down in our deadlines and in shifts and hours. I think that would reduce burnout during the degree as well as future on in practice.
Yes, and I guess that there are a number of things for me. Some of this is about bringing the right people together, isn't it? Because if you're trying to signpost the students, there are a number of people who influence what students look for and where they find it. And I think some of the people we often forget about when we're particularly thinking about research for students are actually the practice educators. They're an amazing bunch of people who are often totally sort of unacknowledged in all sorts of ways. And yet they often hold the key to bringing research into ordinary placements. You know, you don't need to be on a research specific placement. If you're working in a respiratory area on respiratory ward or respiratory outpatients, then actually having a day or two with the respiratory research nurse could make a huge difference, just in terms of understanding, actually, there's something more for people than just coming in, having things done to them in outpatients and going home again. How does research fit into all that? So in a way, it's about actually how you bring all of this to life and making the whole sort of thrust of making research everyone's business. Hopefully, students will start hearing this more when they're out on placement, because the strategic plan for research that's coming out of Ruth May's office and various other initiatives are hopefully starting to get a bit of traction. So out on placement, hopefully they'll also be inspired as well. But it is about thinking about that whole arena of research opportunities. Sometimes it's about supporting research. Sometimes it's delivering research, which is what research nurses do. But it's also then about leading research and what are the opportunities for people to move into ideas of leading their own research right from newly registered. You know, this doesn't need to happen sort of 10 years later. It can happen at a much earlier stage. So we need to catch people at the right time when they're feeling inspired and actually bring research to life for them. And I guess the final thing I just wanted to say in this regard is that there are going to be new opportunities for students coming out a little bit later in the year. And so we collectively, I think, from Council of Deans, from NIHR, from May's office, we need to work out how to get those opportunities better signposted to the people who need them. And so we will absolutely be coming to Council of Deans for some of that dissemination. But I think the fact there is going to be more investment at undergrad level just signals how important it is to be building research for the next generation. And one of the things that we're certainly starting to think about is how we can actually maybe provide some materials for university open days so that potential nurses and midwives may come into nursing or midwifery so that they can do research. And, you know, that would be an amazing reason to come in. We may attract new people into the professions because actually their ultimate goal is to do research. So I think we need to think in the absolute broadest sense.
Thank you, Ruth. That's great. And yeah, it sounds like Council of Deans can definitely play a role in this, even if it's, you know, starting off with sharing examples of good practice. I know, Joy, you shared all those examples of different resources that we need to make sure students have got access to, and different resources like the drop-in clinics and everything. It also sounds like, you know, students need role models. They need to have more exposure to those research settings where they can actually get inspired and think this is what they want to pursue. And those opportunities do need to be opened up for them from the beginning. So that's brilliant. But also it does sound like it's a kind of marketing dissemination pitch as well, just so students are aware of what opportunities are out there and what funding streams are available to them. Fantastic.
Just wanted to add that certainly there's more emphasis on encouraging early career nurses and newly registered nurses into research, which is fantastic, because many of us at undergrad level think that's something we do when you've had several years under your belt. So it's fantastic to see those diverse opportunities coming more to the forefront and early career nurses trailblazing and showing others that actually you can go into research, you can specialise in that area if that's where your passion is. So the work that Ruth is doing in Team CNO is just very, very encouraging and inspiring to see. So thank you, Ruth, for all that you're doing on that side.
I think the other thing to just be really aware of is that these opportunities are going to be out there. We need people to be willing to come forward, and then we need them to reach out to people like ourselves so that we can provide the support that's some of it's already there, but sometimes it's about new ways of supporting students, and so we need to know about that as well. So again, we're very, very open to people just feeding in ideas. You know, drop us an email and say, look, you know, what on earth are you doing about this, or why aren't you doing that? Because that can help then to shape where we go next with students getting engaged in research. I think I would say finally, though, because this is feeding into particularly diversity and inclusion, we're very aware these days that students aren't coming into nursing and midwifery programmes age 18, fresh from A-levels. People are coming into nursing and midwifery from all sorts of different backgrounds. People have had careers before they ever come in. People are doing four-year master's programmes. So therefore, we can't expect people to all be the same when they come out. And so, you know, we need to give people as many opportunities to shine as we can. And I guess that's where I'd like to sort of leave it from my perspective.
Thank you, Ruth. And yeah, it's enabling that kind of flexibility on the course, isn't it? So we can adapt to all different people at different stages of their career and who want to go into, you know, very diverse professions and stages of their profession. So brilliant. Thank you very much. So I know we've had a very rich discussion today and some great takeaways, especially for the council to think about as we continue to support research capacity for our disciplines with our members. So thank you very much, Ruth and Joy, for sharing your insights. And thank you to our audience for listening today. I just wanted to make sure you're aware that we will be sharing more podcasts all throughout February, as well as our webinars, interviews and blogs. And you can find out more and engage with others using the hashtag Cod Research Month on Twitter. So thank you very much and goodbye.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the Council of Deans of Health podcast. For more information, please visit councilofdeans.org.uk.